Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. Time now for us to catch up with one of the all-time great NRL coaches, great player as well back in the day. Just returned from the UK at a long stint over there, but formerly successful coaching premierships with the West Tigers and the Canberra Raiders, the great man, Tim Sheens. I'm just expecting this English accent. Wait for it, everyone. How are you, Sheensy?
Well, how you going, mate?
that sounds like a pom trying to be it. They're like a pom trying
yes,
to be an
exactly.
Aussie.
How I should have said, lad. Lad. That's a lad.
Great to have you, mate, on the show. How are you settling in? A month with your feet under the desk at the Tigers? How's it going?
Yeah, well, I had my first interview with Phil Rothfield on the weekend, so that tells you where I'm going. So, No, all right. It's been, because it's mad November, walk straight into that with all the recruitment that's going on for 2023 as well as next year. So it's been a lesson, but I've been in with Warren McDonnell and he has inducted me well and truly.
It's a big role, the inducted as well. You're in the role as the director of football, or football director.
That's right.
Sure if Phil Rothfield realises you haven't been there for about the last 9 or 10 years, and he kept all the questions he's asking is what's been going wrong? How come you're only finishing 8th and 11th and 14th? I felt like jumping through the paper and saying he hasn't been there, Phil. You dodged
well,
it very well.
I was here
well,
till
mate,
15,
mate.
Badge. I was here till 15. Remember, 12 I finished up with the West Tigers, but I was here till 15 with the Aussie side still. So I was still around for 2 or 3 years. But they've gone through a few coaches and administrators and players. So it's been a bit of a rough ride for the club. But in saying that, they're in probably the best shape I've seen them in anyway, financially, and they're going in the right direction. We're particularly taking control of our juniors. Particularly the Western Suburbs area where we've got thousands of kids playing rugby league down that corridor right through down to Wollongong. So, we're really investing lots of time and effort into that at the moment.
Now, Sheensy, a lot of listeners mightn't realise you've got a relationship with Michael Maguire back from the Canberra days. So how did the role come about? Who reached out to who?
As in this role for me?
Yeah.
It came from the club, from the chairman, basically. They had this idea, I think, of a bit more DNA back in the club. So they decided to reach out to me. Madge was going through that rough spot too of whether he was going to be kept or not kept and so on. So they reorganised the structure of the club and asked me to come in. I, in turn, brought Warren with me and made a couple of other changes that I thought was good. And he and I worked together for 10 years at the club. And so, that started a bit of a role. And now we've got a few more people coming in. Benji's coming in. Robbie Thorough was already here last year. So Paul Searnan runs the Balmain system. Shannon Gallant, kid played at Western Suburbs. Mighty Mouse, they call him. As you might remember him. Yep, he's running the West branch, and we've got a very well organised Matt Betsy, who ran cricket, was involved with cricket, is the administrator that runs it and organises it, and it's the best pathways I've seen in this club anyway, or any other club for that matter that I've been involved in. So it's a good sign that we're going back to our roots and making sure that although you don't get every look after our kids, although you don't always get every position covered by your kids, even parents would admit that. But it is good to go to your kids first, particularly when we've got so many thousand of them playing rugby league.
Yeah. Now, as a head coach, of course, you like to take on a lot of roles as a head coach, but with Michael Maguire coming under the pressure that he did, how does your role take pressure off him just to allow him to coach?
That's it in a nutshell, Sats. I think it's my idea is to do as much in the recruitment area, the PR areas, the take some pressure off him in all sorts of things. He identifies. I mean, he's not taking... We don't go and buy players without him identifying them, although the younger ones we do. The pathways is... Although don't get me wrong, Madge still has a good handle on what's going on with kids and so on, but his role is not to worry about 15-year-olds. His role is to obviously improve the top 30. Phil Dill said the same thing about going into Canterbury. Main aim there was to get the top 30 and the first grade side moving forward, and it's the same for us.
Shinji, do you think there's a long way to go to get you know, your top 30 back into the shape it needs to be a contender, or is it you know, relatively short term from what you've seen in this first month?
Yeah, Badger, it's difficult until you see them in jerseys. There's so many new faces too here, as well as players that I'm not familiar with from a coach's point of view. I've watched quite a few of the games, obviously, and once I got the job, I went through and watched as many, if not all of them, from last year. But it's still watching players play live. You know, you need to see people on the field. I like to be on visual in that regard. Stats mean something. But at the end of the day, it's about how they play on and off the ball, you know, as well as around the training field. So, but look, if we go back to when I started here in 03, and not wanting to always talk about the 05 Premiership, but I'm not going to avoid it either. We were 2 years. We're in better shape in this club now than we were in 03, put it that way. So I'm not predicting a grand final within 2 years, but I'm saying we're in better shape. So I think it's going to be a lot easier to get sustainable success. You've got to remember too, it's, you know, it's 15 years ago. So the game's gone up a level. It always goes up a level every year. I think we've all seen that. Certain percentages every year gets better and better and better. So, but the club is in a strong position to produce a side and a group of players that once they get there, they'll stay there, they'll compete. It's a bit like Parramatta and Penrith. They've competed for a number of years in the semis before Penrith won one. Parramatta now obviously under a heap of pressure to win one, given they've won one for 30 years and they've been in the semis the last 2 or 3 years in good shape. I mean, they're a very good team week in and week out. So, you know, everyone's under a bit of pressure for various reasons, but our pressure here is to improve the team, but the performances of the team week in and week out, not the big blowout 40, you know, win by 30 and then lose by 50. You know, we need to be consistent, and so we were, you know, main aim is to work on the processes and the outcomes look after themselves. But once we get that more consistency, I'm not talking just about the footy team. I'm not coaching the footy team. I'm talking about everything in the club. We need to be consistent in everything we do, from administration, you know, the receptionist right through the club needs to be on the same page, wanting to go on the same way, do that consistently. And funny enough, what happens off the field finds its way on the field, but in a good way, not a bad way.
I can imagine one of your hardest jobs first up would be trying to learn all the players' names, remember them, or
exactly.
Mate, sir.
Madge, hi, mate. How you going, mate? And I said to the boys, Madge dumped me. It was at training at Leichhardt, second week. And I was standing there and he called me over and I thought, oh, what's he doing here? So he introduced me to the players, right? So, you know, caught me off guard. So I said, oh, you know, have things go well, boys. You know, train hard. Because if you have a poor season, it's because you don't train hard enough. It's your own fault. So that went down like a lead balloon. And then I said, and if I call you mate, you know I've forgotten your name. So the other day I was out near the gym, three of them come past. Hi, I'm Kevin, I'm Tom, I'm whatever. And I said, as it went past, shook my hand, I said, you know, I've forgotten it already. So we're having a bit of a banter. Yeah, it's been good fun. But there's some big lads here, big lads, and some strong boys, so, and some talent. So, you know, we're working hard on the cohesion of the group, and because there have been quite a few, not recognised new faces, but a lot of the younger ones are coming through from the lower grades. And so they're all, you know, when I say new to first grade, they've all only had less than 50 or 60 games, Badge, and you know my thoughts on that. You know, it's the 100-game thing makes the difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Shinzy, you talk about having DNA back in the club, you know, like yourself and Benji and Robbie Farah's been there. Why is it so important, do you feel, for the players that are putting on that jersey each week?
Look, I think I like to think that we were pretty well full on when we were here, You included, Sats, stupid boy, leaving the club 1 year early just to go to the Gold Coast. You know, I wanted you to stay. So there you go. There's the story. But anyway, from the point of view of people that have put their heart into it, it's not. I suppose it's just leading the way. I mean, we're full on. We love the club. And even though you don't always leave the club in the way you want to leave the club, you don't win a premiership and you don't make those sort of friendships and they last, you know, they last forever, basically, you know. I think having a few of them around, not spruking about 05, 05's gone, but nevertheless, to win a premiership, there's certain things you need to do. And it doesn't change, no matter how many years you can talk between premierships. It's about buying into the club, buying into the culture, yeah, working for each other, a bunch of mates that can, if focused on the same thing, can do wonders. You know, we didn't have a rep player in the state of origin or a test side when it had been 05, and yet we won a premiership. So you can do it if there's enough attitude in the right place and talent. Well, we had some talent in that side, albeit that they were small. You know, we played the game. We played at Canberra, Madge. The talent was out in the back. So why do you think Ricky Stewart got the halfback role? Was to give guys like you and Mal the ball, Laurie and Chicker and so on. So we coached accordingly. The team played accordingly. We played for one another. And also you need a bit of luck, and that is generally having your best side available as you go through the back end of the season, getting a bit of momentum from some wins, and then go in with your best side. And I think if you go in with your best side or close to it, you're some chance. Because I think every club has one good side, if you look at it. But the depth and is not as strong with some clubs as others, and if you get a bad run, you know, and you know what it's like. You get a bad run. You know, Mal with his broken arm, I think, affected our 88 season badge, you know. So
well, I think South like this that. Year, Sheensy, you know, you saw yeah. Latrell Mitchell.
Oh, without Latrell.
They missed him.
Well,
that
I tell you,
really
last year too, mate. Last year too, because he was injured the year before. I reckon they would have flown into the semis. So certain players are that influence, aren't they? And Big George was that. Not taking away from my fancy fullback of 88 and 89. But in saying that, you know, the combination of you and him were fabulous. So, and Chicker and so on. And so, you lose one of those players and you lose a combination. It can affect the side big time.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about depth.
It's South, it's their left edge.
Yeah, exactly. And you're talking about depth and the effect of some of those key players can have, Sheensy, and reports. And how true were the rumours that yourself and Craig Bellamy had discussed Brandon Smith moving to the Tigers for a season?
Yeah, we did have a discussion, but there's also been quite a few other clubs had that same discussion. Yeah. Well, I rang Craig, I gave him a few days. I knew he wouldn't be happy about what was happening, and he was in two minds. So I'm not sure that he was ever really, and that he will actually let the lad go. But in saying that, he said, you know, he's got a few problems with his middles, and he'd need a middle. He asked for our best middle, and I said no. So it went no further.
Yeah.
And no, there was no hard feelings about it. I mean, we then signed Coruscant the next day. So, we were going to sign Coruscant anyway, because if we did get Brandon, it was only just going to be for the filling year.
Hey, before we let you go, I want to talk to you about this high-performance centre that's nearly done. Yeah. I believe it's amazing at Concord, but please tell me, has it really got a barbershop?
Yes, it has.
What?
Hey, well, for guys with all the hair I've got, you know, you need to cut it regularly.
Yeah.
Or that I haven't got. Look, there's some public... I don't know if it's a public one. That's a good question. I know there is. But I know that if you're in a footy club these days, someone will have a pair of clippers and do all the boys before they play. But given that the fancy haircuts that they get these days and the fancy for the various cultures, let alone the various amount of hair you've got on your head, they've got a spot for a barbershop now. Whether or not that operates also, because we've got a couple of things in there to operate publicly, like a cafe that will be open to the public. So I'm not sure if it'll end up being one of those or not, mate, but you got me there. But remember, I've only been here 4 weeks. Yeah,
there you go. Well, mate, it sounds amazing, this new high-performance facility. I mean, there's a few of them dotted around at different clubs, so that's certainly going to help the Tigers long-term.
Yeah, you've got to have one. You've got to have, well, you know, lift 200-kilo weight, whether it's an old bench or a new bench, same thing. But nevertheless, the optic and the ability to have the best equipment gives players no excuses. You players always need excuses, you know. We haven't got that, or we haven't got this. They've got that over there. So we're going to have all of that now. So, being serious, a really good quality facility, like any work environment, is very important, you know. You need to give the players the tools, you know, to perform. And then, true, they've got no excuses, but by the same token, you know, it's on us as administrators to make sure that, you know, they're well prepared and that they can well prepare. So, that's the aim of these sorts of things. And it's obviously nearly every club has one now. Some are into their second and third. Still, it's great to see the players, mate. I played, as did you, Badge, in the old days of part-time. And isn't it nice to see what they get now? You know, you'd love to be born playing in this era, both years, I suppose. So,
I used to go to my local squash club just to find a gym back in the 80s because there was none at the footy club.
Well, was that why I put that gym in at the squash court at Canberra, was it?
Yeah, probably.
You remember? Double we up. Had it down there. Yeah, that's it. We had nowhere else to put it, but we had no room. It's what we did in the old days is... but still, you know, they were good times, I think. And, you know, the sport, it's a wonderful sport. And I think played at any level, to be quite honest. But young lads today and the men today who get a chance to go full-time, it's a career. It's a small career, like as in it can be short. If you've got 15 years, you'd be lucky. But in saying that, you can look after yourself and you do the right thing. You can come out of it in good shape financially and study or do whatever you can over the same years. You know, you can make a good life for yourself, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think those players that could just look around and see Simon Dwyer there, you know, they see the other superstars, but that bloke who had his career cut so short, I think that's a real wake-up call for him, hey, to pull your finger out and train as hard as you can and make things happen.
Simon works with one hand on the computers. He does all the analysis. He fixed mine only about half an hour ago because yours truly got it wrong, as I do. It's true. He had a career in front of him that was... He was headed to play for Australia, no doubt, and something special. But in saying that, he's certainly the club's looked after him, and he's looked after the club. So it is a reminder. We had the big Taniela the Tank, Tuaki as well, with an ankle. Same as Young Yo, same injury as Young Yo. He was 22 at the Broncos playing for Australia and Queensland. Never play again. So it is for people who say they're sooks or they don't have a go or whatever. They've never been on the field of battle, have they, as far as rugby league at this level. So, you admire anyone who can play the sport or get even 50 games in the sport, you know. It is not easy and the competition stuff, but you know, it's a character builder, there's no doubt about that. One way or another, it's a character builder.
Great to pick your brain, Sheensy, and we hope we can do it again throughout the season, mate. One of the great minds of rugby league, and it's fantastic to have you back in the NRL. I'm sure your contribution will be enormous there at the West Tigers, mate. And
appreciate
you.
Mate, I thought I had another hour to talk. I was all prepared for another hour.
Hey, listen,
you just wanted up.
Badge, I rang him the other day, and he went from talking from administration to straight back into coaching mode again. We're talking balls and passing drills.
You were as responsible, mate. You were as responsible.
I've been talking for 2 hours.
You tempted me. You drew me out. That's not fair.
Sats are still dirty. You got rid of him in 2005. Wouldn't have had another
premiership. Oh, Mike Hell. We still... Liam Fulton and Bryce Gibbs ran the Sattler tackle for the rest of their careers.
Hey,
you know the Sattler tackle? Yes. After every training session, captains, runners included, one of them would run down the sideline, the other one would chase him and barrel him over the sideline. Captain's run. And I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. It was almost a given. Every training session was a Sattler tackle. So you left an impression on them, mate, that's for sure.
Hey, Sheensy, it's Jason, the producer here. I've got to ask you a question before we go. Badge is talking about Sats whinging. Badge continually whinges about a time you caught him back from summer holidays, back to training.
Yeah, he did too.
Sheensy, can you set the
record
straight?
He probably doesn't remember.
He won't shut up about
he'll
it.
He'll remember.
I've said it once.
I think I remember it because I think I got the look from Badge for about a week, you know.
The stink eye.
Yeah, that sort of, you know, not talking, you know, like being there. But
oh, we know
talking,
it.
Not being there. And I don't know, I don't think the next time I saw Kaylin, she was very happy either.
No, she's still not talking.
Just quietly. Well, yeah, it's like most wives, mate. If I, you know, drop their husband or cut them from the club or do whatever, you know, as you'd say, you know, they might make you a cup of tea, but the advice is not to drink it.
Yeah, very good. Righto, mate. Good on you, Sheezy.
All right, guys. All the best.
Thanks, Timmy.